Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
And we're currently bringing Clippers news at least three times a week.
At least three times a week.
Maybe more as things happen. Gotta be honest. It's a little...
So far, the trend seems to be three a week.
Slim pickings out there is all I'm going to say. Yeah, it's a little slim pickings.
For sure. But we got stuff today.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you. Still, we're going to talk a little bit about Marcus Morris. How's he playing? Really, we just haven't seen enough to give him a grade yet.
A full-on grade, sorry.
As we have been doing for the rest of the Clipper starters. Please, if you haven't yet, go ahead and check out all those. That's evergreen content, baby.
Yeah.
You can check that out at any time. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the best season in franchise history. So today we're going to kind of narrow down what we think that is. We'll probably flood out a question to you guys.
For sure.
What the listeners out there think. See what the fine listeners feel is the best season. And I mean, it's really hard not to say this one.
It's very difficult to. But there's some in the contender. And then it's also like, you know, there's impact. There's the intangibles. There's a lot to dig into. And I think all the other Locked On NBA podcasts are doing kind of a best season week.
Yeah.
So if you are a double fan, go check out some of the Locked On.
Check out some of the general, the Locked On NBA, you know, league wide type of stuff. And then we're going to be wrapping things up with some shavings. We have a rebuttal of a hot take, which the lines are always open, folks. Go ahead. Leave those hot takes 213-986-7354. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
And then we're going to talk a little bit about Clippers in the 2K tournament. And then
they're looking good. I'll tell you that.
And then Clippers Meme King at LOL W2TF Eric made some great content.
Yeah, as per usual.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
So welcome. We're rounding out the starting lineup, kind of how they playing, grade thing.
I'm shaping it at a pottery wheel.
Oh, that's what you're doing. I was like, do you want me to stop? Like, you haven't even said anything bad yet about Marcus Morris. But so we're doing Marcus Morris today, who obviously kind of has the least mean amount of any of the
starters
for sure. And most players in terms of the impact he's supposed to have, very small sample size so far. Where I think he and Reggie are always going to be kind of held. They're always going to be compared into how they're doing with this Clippers team because they were acquired at basically the same time and
totally.
One was free.
Well,
so they're like, it's like the Rome and Shea thing.
Totally.
They're beholden to each other.
And this is a little bit contradictory, but I'd feel a little bit more comfortable given Reggie, a season grade at this point, than Morris.
Well, yeah, but Reggie's... So the thing that's funny about Reggie is that Reggie's just playing so well.
I know.
I love it. Yeah.
I
give him an A+.
It's just like you said, it's so hard to separate those two things.
Because
they happen at the same time, but it's, you know, clearly different expectations, different fits.
Different roles they're coming from, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But let's zero in on Morris.
Yeah. So if you're not familiar, Morris came basically from being the number one option on the borderline worst team in the league.
Yeah.
The Knicks to become a Los Angeles Clipper. Currently, he is averaging 9-4-1 on splits of 38, 28,
oof,
82. He's taken 5 threes a game, down just one from his time with the Knicks. Based on face value, if you happen to maybe be, you know, just looking at the numbers, those averages.
Any accountants out there?
Not the hottest.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those things. I feel like we used to have this conversation.
But I'm talking just numbers.
Yeah, we used to have this conversation so much at the start of the season. Like, it was Sham that was going through kind of a rough patch. You know, Lou had his shooting slumps, but it was like these numbers are so bad.
They gotta come back.
That I have to be inclined that they can only improve.
Yeah, so we have to assume that the 28% from three will revert closer to the 37% of the last two seasons.
Oh, at least, yeah.
With the Knicks, he was shooting 44%.
Yeah, and I would think he'd be getting better looks, right? I mean, you know, just given the offense, right?
Given how both teams operate offensively, yes.
Yeah, he was like the fulcrum of that. I would think that the quality of these looks would be a little bit better. Though we did see him make some questionable.
Yeah, and like the attempts, it's so crazy because his attempts are down. He's taking 5 less attempts a game.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there's necessarily a rhythm issue with that for him, because his 2-point percentage is better with the Clippers than it is with the Knicks.
Yeah.
But he's taking literally half as many 2-point attempts.
Totally.
So I'm wondering if not getting those 2-point attempts is messing with his rhythm on the threes. Because now he has that burden of efficiency, I guess, for everyone who's not Kawhi, Paul George, Trez, or Lou.
Well, yeah, and it's one of those things. I mean, like, aside from the shot attempts, I just feel like having the ball in your hands physically, like, it's got to be such a trip from a mental perspective.
For sure.
You're
doing a lot more watching. I don't mean that in a mean way, like I'm, like, deriding his effort or anything, but, like, you really are just doing so much more watching instead of initiating.
Yeah, totally.
There, and it's hard, too, because, like, everyone kind of compares it to... But he's going to be compared with Mo, basically. He's played, what, 12 games, something like that? 12 games for us. And the big question I think that a lot of people ask is his lack of defense compared to Mo fine because he has a better offensive skill set for what we gave up?
I think so.
Yeah, before the goddamn virus.
I think so. I just think, like, and I liked the fit of Mo defensively quite a bit, but I just don't think that you need, there's times where you need a screwdriver and there's times where you need a multi-tool.
I mean, yeah. I put together a shelf. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And I just think that, like, as much as the defensive, like, switchability is nice when you're trying to give breaks or you're short on your top shelf personnel.
Yeah.
That's just not really, to me, that doesn't seem as necessary as a guy who can play at least average defense at the position.
For sure.
And score above average.
And stretch the floor is the biggest
thing. Stretch the floor.
Even if he's not necessarily hitting, at least the threat is there.
The respect is there more.
Yeah, Mo would have to make like 2 threes and then they'd be like, all right, we start respecting Mo Hargis out on the perimeter. With Morris, it's already there kind of built in.
Yeah, that's a very good call. And
Go ahead.
I mean... I guess I think a better look at comparison maybe for his numbers is that last year there in Boston where...
I don't really trust anyone's numbers on the Knicks if they didn't play a whole season there.
Right. Because
the Knicks are like a weird... I don't know what's going on over there.
Yeah, I've...
A lot of weird shit.
I fully don't know what's going on over there, but he was closer to a... He was more of a role player in, you know, in the sense that he is here. But he's still
with Boston. Boston.
Yeah. He still had more field goal attempts, and 3-point attempts, though not drastically, from three, but the efficiency,
role.
Yeah, the efficiency was still there. So I have been critical of some of Morris's performances. I've also been high on praise for his better ones. But I think that this is obviously all only going to improve. He was very efficient in Boston.
He was efficient in Boston. Even if you look at his 3-point numbers, especially from New York, he's efficient. I mean, you look at the games for the Clips, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, over half of them he's in double digits. Like, there's only really a couple games, because the biggest knock on him was shot selection.
Yes.
I mean, there's a game here where he goes 2-for-10 against Denver. That didn't matter.
No.
At all. So that was good. There were some shots in the loss. I want to say Boston, where it was like late in the game and Morris was taking some shots when Paul George and Kawhi were on the floor. And I was kind of like, I don't need this ever. Like, ever.
Yeah, yeah.
In a close game, I would, you know what I mean? Like,
that to me is something that's reasonable and obviously an adjustment. And the thing, I mean, like, the Denver, like, the 2-for-10 is super rough, but I mean, that's a game where, like, man, like, we were stomping them. Put up any shot you want, man.
And here's, like, a good game is, like, against Philly. We win by 6. Mm-hmm. He plays 27 games, or 27 minutes, excuse me. He's 3-of-4, 1-for-1 from 3, 2-of-2 from the line, 2 boards, 1 assist, a steal, a block, 9 points. Like, that is, like, that's great. I love that sound from where it can
doesn't jump off the page at you, but
no,
like, it's
but
very
the efficiency
solid.
Is there.
The efficiency is
and
there.
And the only 1 3-point attempt is obviously a little lower than I want it to be.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But it evidently wasn't.
But I mean, still getting that, like, I don't know. He was still getting the shots that were there for him.
Yeah. The loss against Sacramento, he goes 0-of-2 from 3. The loss against Boston, he goes 2-of-6 from 3. So it kind of goes like if he's getting over five attempts and he's not hitting 40% or so, it's a little harder for us.
Yeah.
If he's getting that many attempts.
I mean, we've said on the show that we would like to have George at least 9 3-point attempts per game.
Yeah.
What would you like to see Morris, ideally? 7? 6?
I think 6.
I think 6 is like a pretty nice number.
It's kind of leaving us like with how the break ended. You look at his percentages and he went 1-for-1, like I just mentioned, against Philly. And then he goes 0-for-5, 3-for-8, 0-for-7, 2-for-3. So, I mean, in the game against the Lakers, he murdered us. He went 0-for-7. He went 0-for-9.
Yeah.
He's got a couple games where it's like either 200 or a goose egg. So, like, I wish the valleys weren't so low.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I mean,
if he literally goes just 3-for-7 against the Lakers, that game goes to overtime.
Totally.
Yeah. Which is not the craziest percentage I think he can go.
Yeah, no, not at all. And like,
and there's extenuating circumstances. You know what I'm saying? Just
yeah, like you said, in New York, I mean, he was taking 6 a game.
Yeah.
So
just one more than now.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, and even at that last year in Boston, he was at 5. He was at over 5 a game, like 5.25 a game, and he was hitting those at 38%. And that's really all that we need him to do.
And that'll come back.
Yeah.
And so the last question kind of as we round out this Marcus Morris retrospective expose, as my co-host would call it. If the cap is lowered, which it seems like it's definitely going to be, that helps the Clippers, given the fact that we have the richest owner literally ever in the history of the NBA. Is there no real concern with re-signing him?
I think it depends on, A, the power of recency bias, if we are not to see any more basketball before free agency.
Which we're not. We're going to see basketball.
And so it would depend on that. And then obviously, I mean, I think Morris hurt his own stock a lot last free agency into this year.
Interesting.
Like more so than when he was just coming out of Boston. Like that whole kind of snafu thing with the Spurs. And then he had kind of like, he got tossed in at least one game in New York.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Some females comments. I mean, like, there's some stuff like, I think that his stock is, I'm a little bit less worried about resigning Morris, I guess I would say, this year than I would have been trying to sign Morris if it was, like, in addition to a Kawhi deal last summer.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
That's a fair call. I'm curious to see what his market is going to be.
But yeah, I mean, the years are getting up there,
because he kind of did the opposite of Trez.
Yeah.
If there's no more basketball, Trez did the best. You know, for new contracts, Morris didn't actually do so well for himself.
But with the Clippers. I mean, like from in New York, he's solid.
I think we'll resign. Let us know what you think about Marcus Morris's season at Locked On Clips at 213-986-7354. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking, trying to figure out what truly is the best season in Clippers history. Maybe it's this one. Maybe it's the other very recent ones. But first, look, we know you guys got some time. Can hang out. Maybe you're cleaning your house. Maybe you're doing what I did today and you disinfected a bunch of groceries. While I could have been doing that, I could have been checking out Blinkist.
You should have.
It's an incredible app that kind of solves the problem of trying to read books while you're doing other stuff.
It'll solve all your problems.
Blinkist is really unique. Works on your phone, tablet, or your web browser. Takes the best key takeaways, need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down to just 15 minutes.
Any web browser?
Pretty sure most web browsers. I don't think Tor.
DuckDuckGo?
DuckDuckGo is not a browser. That's a search engine.
dang!
Oh, this fool. Successful people, like business leaders, you all know business leaders, are well known for reading a lot of books. You can do the next best thing. You can listen to books in 15 minutes. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library.
12 million and one, counting you.
12 million and two, counting both of us. From self-help, business, health to history books, Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists, as well as classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read but never got time to. With Blinkist, you can get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books.
Huge.
All the books you could want for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our Locked On Clippers audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription.
Please check it out.
That's Blinkist, spelled BLINKIST. Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. Again, 25% off. only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA.
All right. So now that we've listened to books, we're smarter.
I've listened to so many damn books.
We're looking at things from multiple angles, 360 degrees.
Yep.
It's time to explore what's the best season in franchise history?
Right off the bat, I'm just going to say the one that we're currently waiting to resume.
This is a great
question for every team in the NBA, but it's very funny to look at from the Clippers perspective, because your options are, if you are, say, a 30-year-old and you're me, your options are this year.
Mm-hmm. Good one.
You got 12-13, 13-14, or 14-15. I left out 15-16.
Because
it didn't
reasons.
Seem as concrete in terms of best, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's fair.
But it's all within,
It's
within your two hands in terms of counting on, like, how many years the greatest season is.
Yeah, in terms of, like, actual tangible results, you know what I mean?
So that's the other thing is, like, do you go by truly just how well the team did?
Yeah.
Like, do you go strictly by as far as they went? Which, if you do... It's got to be, I mean, it's between that 13-14, 11-12, basically.
Yeah.
Like, that, I mean, if you want to go by that.
It's, yeah. I mean, yeah. There's so many other ones. I don't know. It's like we were
but
talking
about.
But
there's not that many other ones. Like.
Yeah, in terms of performance, yeah. I guess in terms of influence.
In terms of influence, there's some crazy things, but it's also, it's funny because all of the greatest seasons for the Clippers, there's no culmination in, you know, the big thing. We all know how far they've made it or maybe not made it in the playoffs.
Yeah, didn't they win that chip in,
2 years ago, actually.
15?
Yeah. They won that championship.
Oh, 17?
Yeah. But so all of the greatest seasons end at the pretty much exact same point.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, very much so.
So it's this really weird way to look at it of you kind of just pick your favorite from those three, I guess, that I listed, and this year, I think.
Well,
because
we're
like, this isn't just to determine, and if you have thoughts on what the greatest Clippers season is, let us know at Locked On Clips, of course. But
my thing, too, is that it's hard for me to separate for greatest season, like, how they stacked up against the rest of the NBA. And, like,
yeah,
there were times, the 14 season would be the closest one I could probably think of, but 13-14, were they stacked up against the rest of the NBA? But I've never felt it as strongly, I guess, as this season.
No, this season has a true just, like, this is it.
This is, like, it. This, I mean, was, like, if it's going to happen, man, this is it.
And you look at the teams with, like, you look when they were coming up again, you know, like, the everything, the peak of the Clippers before this year coincided with another team in the Pacific Division, kind of, depending where you sit, revolutionizing how basketball is played.
Yeah.
Like, the Clippers top for a while had... really shittily had to coincide with the Warriors playing the best version of new basketball that you could possibly
play. And
even
the Spurs at times there.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah, I guess I've never felt as though the playing field was as even, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I know what
in
you mean.
In terms of, like, for the Clippers.
For the Clippers specifically.
Not for everybody.
Like,
just for the Clippers.
Like, the Lob City teams, I was like, I believe this team can get to the Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
But you, like, there was a year, I think it was 15-16, where the Warriors were literally number one in offensive rating, and I think number two in defensive rating or something. So it's like, look, we can get there, but we're also, like, I love those teams.
Yeah.
Those teams were very good.
Those teams built the foundation for where we are now.
The teams are very good, but they, like, in a 7-game series against those Warriors and stuff like that, it's like, now it's so hard to look back on and be like, shit, I love the Clippers very, very much. But looking at that stuff now, you're just kind of like, oh, they were, like, it would have been an upset. You can't say that it would have not been an upset.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
which
for sure.
Sucks. But I mean, no, this year is a much more, like, this is We don't have a big three.
Yeah, closest we've ever felt.
Which is crazy because we didn't have a... We have a big two.
Yeah.
Or you could argue a big four.
I think it's almost close to a big four. Just top to bottom, it's never been this complete.
It's never been like this.
It's never been like this.
You look at the bench mob teams with, you know, my guy VDN. Like, my guy. No, I'm happy he's not coaching the Clippers anymore.
Wait, I thought you were a Del Negro apologist.
I'm not an apologist. He just gets some on, like, look, the things he... Okay, I'm not an apologist. We absolutely should have hired Doc Rivers. It was a trade that we had to make.
Fire Doc, coming from
Chuck Monkley. I'm not that, look. I'm going to somehow go into even more hiding, compared to quarantine. But I think...
You're going to quarantine yourself in a box.
Yeah, this is going to be... Yeah, it's going to be... I'm going to quarantine myself.
Box with two holes.
That's it, baby. I got food paste, food and water is combined into one thing. But I think, like, and so I have another Dark Horse honorable mention. 2011.
Okay. I like this.
The year that the Chris Paul trade happened, because in terms of, like, intangibles important, or greatest, yeah. best, sorry, this was the mark of the new wave.
Yeah. Yeah, finally healthy Blake, paired with an elite point guard.
Yeah. DeAndre. Like, all the pieces, like, it was like that. That was the, like, that's another best season. Like, if you're a fan of the team for 40 years, I can see that seeing maybe being the best, because you're like, oh, this was such a change from maybe what had been happening and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But so for the next, we're going to be talking about the best season on Wednesday's episode and Friday's episode. Are we going with 1920? / maybe 21 as the Clippers' best season to recap for the next couple of days and just talk about the impact of it.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. We're gonna put it out there.
We're gonna revisit it.
I'm curious to see what other people think, because I could definitely see, in terms of, like, personal memory, like, you know,
absolutely.
Maybe
that's what's nice. It's an open ended.
Yeah, maybe some of the Q teams and Miles teams.
So one of the reasons that Vinny Del Negro kind of, I guess, going on the personal stuff.
Yeah.
One of the reasons Vinny Del Negro teams I kind of, like, I guess, have a soft spot for is that was, like, right when I first moved to LA.
100%. Same thing.
And
yeah.
So, like, I just have memories of us. Like, I remember you, like, you had some idea to, like, hack an IKEA. Like, you bought two, like, and you and your girlfriend, like, you had, like, two IKEA things and you were going to combine them into something.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
we built a weird sketchy bar.
You built a weird sketchy bar.
Like, an actual bar that would be on a set, maybe.
It was like, it was not good. But
it was not good. No.
We would just get, like, drunk and watch Clippers games.
Yeah.
And because, like, obviously it was the only games we could afford. Like, no. So, like, that, like.
Even to watch at home.
Even to watch at home was the only games we could afford. Yeah. We were so, I mean, still not doing too much better. But, like, so for me, like, that's why maybe some of those, like, the bench mob teams and, like,
100%.
Bars and all that stuff.
100%. But no, yeah, I remember you drank a ton of whiskey one time. I was worried how you were going to walk home.
That's the only time I've ever had too much whiskey, which is a fun fact. But so maybe Friday we'll break down these, you know, like, the glory Lob City days.
Yeah.
Wednesday we'll talk about more of just what this season means, because it is kind of nice. It's the Updike fun check, basically.
Oh, yeah.
On Wednesday.
Which, you know, I'm a big fan of. I was 25 in the 14-15 season. Wasn't a great ending.
To you being 25?
No,
to me. That's for lockdown William Updike turned 25. Coming up after this, we got... Oh, also, let us know your favorite season. We're going to talk about it. Let us know memory at Locked On Clips, or call in.
Yeah,
213-986-7354. Coming up after this, some shavings.
All right, so...
We got a hot take rebuttal, I think.
This is the first rebuttal in history, correct?
I love it. I wish we knew this human's name.
Yes.
Hope he's doing well.
Thank you for being a fan of the show.
Hope his time is going. Yeah, we love the takes. We love the banter. Please call in 213-986-7354. I believe he's a little bit going at you.
Why me?
Because he agrees with my one take. We're going to listen to the guy who talked about the fun trade idea that we floated the other week. Hot take right now.
Hey, guys. It's me again. Love the show. Just quick thing. On your comments on my hot take from before, so Sham for a top five pick, you kept saying first round pick. I was thinking top five is a pretty good thing to get back. I know you said that's the bare minimum, but, I mean, Sham, just like you said, he doesn't fit in our system. And also, Julius Randle and Mitchell Robinson, you can look at Julius Randle's contract like kind of like a going with Mitchell Robinson. So they're each $10 million. I mean, obviously you don't want to be paying Mitchell Robinson $10 million, but it looks good. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Okay.
All right. So just to refresh.
So he justifies himself a little bit.
Yes. The trade would be, just to refresh though, if you didn't catch that episode, it would be Zoo plus Montrez plus Sham for Randall, Robinson, and a pick.
A top five pick. Let's assume.
If the Knicks get
Let's say it's a top five pick.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, I like how he's like, you're basically paying Randall and Robinson $10 million a year each. But you also don't want to pay Mitchell Robinson $10 million a year. He agrees with my point that Shan doesn't fit in the current team. I respect that. Appreciate that. But so, like, what is your biggest thing of this is, like, who do we take with that pick? What are we looking for?
My thing is, I might have said first rounder, but even to me, a top five or top 10 pick for Sham, I guess I'm a little curious as to...
Top five, though. We did say top five. Let's pretend this one's a top five.
Okay, yeah, top five. Fine, yeah. Yes, top five. And it's not five.
And it's not... It could be five. It's not five, it's not one.
My thing is, I'm assuming that we're going for a guard in this scenario. I just don't really see what other need we have.
Yeah, for sure.
In this, especially
not
in this,
a big.
Yeah, especially in this scenario.
Well, it might be a big because we have one center now.
No, Julius Randle would play the five.
And then Mitchell Robinson's our backup five?
No, he would be the starting five.
So Julius Randle's coming off the bench for five?
Yeah, Julius Randle's taking over Montrez's position.
See, I think we actually maybe need another center in this situation.
Okay, well, that makes it even worse.
No, I know. I'm agreeing with you now. Now that I'm really sitting down.
So my thing is...
I got the time brain shaking off a little bit, left the house.
Okay, so my thing is, I guess, with the pick, right? Because that's the sexiest piece, probably, of this package, right? Top five pick.
Okay.
I mean, is it not?
Have you seen Mitchell Robinson block? No, I'm just kidding. That was a joke. I know the top five pick.
Hey! I guess my thing is we're assuming that he's going to be a better playmaker coming into the league than Reggie Jackson, or a better shooter
coming into the league
than Landry Shamet.
Yeah.
And you think that either or
Don't
both of those is a possibility.
Don't look at me.
No, I mean, that's my thing is I do agree with the criticism that maybe Shamet isn't currently fitting in
He's
with where
not.
The team's at right now. Yeah, for sure. But I don't know how another...
Adding a new guy, like, I don't see how it works.
I just don't see a top five pick that does really fit in right away, especially given Doc's history with rookies, which is better, for sure, but still.
Spicy take. I don't know if I trust this Clippers run outs with a top five pick. They're 1-for-2 on lottery picks so far.
You know what? That's fair.
And it's a hard 1-for-2. It's borderline.
That's fair.
I don't want to say 0-for-2, but.
How's it 0-for-2?
Just because the Jerome one was so maybe misguided. In hindsight.
Hey, we don't know that.
We literally do.
We don't know that.
All right.
You know, we don't know that.
We appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much. If you're on Twitter, DM us or something. We'd like to, I don't know.
Yeah, and please,
send
anyone listening,
buy
we'd
a
love
drink or something.
We'd love to hear your take. We'd love to hear the rebuttal of your
this
take.
This person actually doesn't sound old enough to buy drinks. I take back what I said.
Man,
there's a quarantine. Everyone's having a good time. Then just a couple quick things. Clippers in the 2K tournament, looking pretty damn good.
Yeah, 2-for-2 so far.
Yeah, you just learned what video games were the other day.
I did. Yes.
He said, "It's a what?
Vidya?
I thought they weren't playing basketball." Will's just a random. So Bev played Whiteside. Before the game, he said he would beat Hassan Whiteside by 30 and hold him below 55. Wouldn't you know it? He won 84-54. Did he do that on purpose?
Man of his word.
He talks so much shit. Dude, he was up 10 on Hassan Whiteside, and he was like, just got to get ready. He's like, now I'm locked in, I guess. Just had to get up by 10. Now let's go. He destroyed him. And then Trez beat Domantas Sabonis. He crushed him late. Sabonis was so frustrated, he threw out a this game is rigged. So you know all you need to know about how Sabonis plays 2K. Sabonis seems like the kind of guy who accidentally turns the console off. Best part of Trez beating Sabonis, he gave Zoo fourth quarter minutes. And Zoo blocked a shot. And he was going, I love it, Zoo! and it was fantastic. Which is much better than when Durant had Zubats in and he kicked it out to the perimeter and for some reason Zubats was up there and he shot it with Zubats.
Really?
And Durant was like, I thought this was Landry. What the hell are you doing up there? Get him out of there. And just subbed Zubats out.
That's so funny.
Trez also very obviously calls Patrick Patterson shoulders.
I love it. The man has very broad shoulders.
The dude has huge shoulders. And then he also got Rodney.
Also a great Big Thief song. Check it out.
I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. And then he also got Rodney Magruder dunked on. He was like, Rodney's going to be mad at me for this one. It was pretty funny. I'm not sure when they play next. I apologize. But I described it as the perfect thing to do.
While doing something else.
While you're wiping down groceries that your significant other just bought from Costco.
Yeah, definitely.
Shout out to anyone who's braving Costco right now. And Trader Joe's. My girlfriend went to Trader Joe's today. Said it wasn't so bad once you got inside.
Yeah. Well, it seems like they're running like a really great organized system. Whereas Costco is like only vaguely.
Costco's like, come on in, baby!
Costco's like kind of only vaguely limiting people. Also, if anyone here listening works in grocery or service or any sort of industry like that, like, we appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
I mean, everyone who does it is awesome.
It's crazy figuring out what the essential workers are, which is everyone who helps everyday things.
Right.
Which is fantastic.
Right.
We got to give another shout out to Clippers artist, fan artist at LOLWTF Eric. I don't know how you can do this, but on Animal Crossing, he has a bunch of like Clippers jerseys and a bunch of NBA jerseys. If you play Animal Crossing, I don't.
Are there some Clips picks we can check out anywhere? Is that online?
I think you can see it on his Twitter, which is at LOWTF Eric.
Okay.
I don't want to link his Instagram because I think it's private, so I don't want to put him on blast like that.
All right, that's fair.
But check out BUI, the creator on Animal Crossing. Again, I do not play Animal Crossing, but there's Clippers jerseys on there for y'all.
The sounds are very pleasing. My partner plays it. Once again,
Casey's like hella good at it.
Don't play any video games.
She just talks about how she like fishes all the time. Which
is that good?
Chill. I don't know. I think so. I'm playing FIFA 14 over here.
The sounds are very pleasing.
That about wraps it up, I think, right?
Yes, that'll do it.
Thank you guys so much for hanging out, for listening. We hope you had a fantastic weekend.
Yes.
Hope you have a great Monday, Tuesday. Yeah. We are going to have an episode for you on Wednesday.
That's right. Going to
be there. We're going to be taking questions.
Do it on Wednesday or Tuesday?
Wednesday? Monday, Wednesday, Friday?
We're not going to do Twitter Tuesday anymore?
Well, we could do Twitter Tuesday. It'll be on Twitter. The questions will be played on the Wednesday episode.
Oh, man. You're making my head hurt over here.
Okay. Well, once I break... once Will takes an
I just found out video games 12 hours ago,
down. I don't know what the hell's going on. We're going to be doing Twitter Tuesday. It's going to be on Twitter. Send your questions in on Tuesday. Look for it on Twitter. I will let people know what's going on. We're still going to be an episode on Wednesday. We can still do Twitter Tuesday.
We'll see, man.
There's also going to be a What You Say Wednesday. It's going to be a Twitter poll on Tuesday, too. We got a bunch of shit going on Twitter. Wow. At Locked
On Clips. Seems like a busy Tuesday.
Look, man. Some of us still forcibly have to go to work because apparently we're essential.
Busy Tuesday for a show on Wednesday.
Huh? Yeah, what do you want me to do? Again, you can always leave your takes at 213-986-7354. Go ahead, leave them on Tuesday so we can get those for the Wednesday episode. We're going to be talking the legend that is Lou Will so far this season.
Love
more
it.
About kind of the best season ever. You can find us on what? Google?
Yeah, Google.
Goggle.
iTunes. Goggles. iTunes, if you haven't already, please subscribe. Leave a rating or review. It's huge for us. Also, yeah, check us out on Spotify.
Deezer.
Yeah, Spotify is cool. Deezer.
Yeah, Spotify. Thank you so much again. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
Anti-Spotify Chuck Mockler. Right? And I am William the Opinion Updike. Thanks so much for listening. Really appreciate it.